Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Instability, inconsistent days, anxiety, and lack of motivation. It's easy to feel like this with the fast-paced lives we live nowadays. However, there is a way for you to have good days more consistently, and you can do that by harnessing the power of building good habits. In today's episode, we will discuss the science behind habit building, and we'll give you some tips on how you can develop good habits so you have good days more consistently. Boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassie from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
imaginative
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're making a sandwich, out for a walk, or
tidying your room.
Yeah. So guys, I'm joined here in the global studio today by someone who is a bit of an unsung hero because he works his magic behind the scenes here at Real Life English. And for those of you who don't know what an unsung hero is, it's someone who does great things but doesn't really get a lot of attention for it. So let's welcome Izzy. Izzy, how are you? How's it going?
Hey, Cassie. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I don't know if any of the listeners have listened to the older podcasts. I know you were on the podcast previously, right, with Ethan?
Yes, I was there. And we spoke about the 7 habits of highly effective people, but more applied to English learning.
So tell us about what you do at Real Life English.
All right. So I work with marketing, and it's basically all things marketing right now. I help our content reach more people by implementing like different marketing strategies. And I guess also help our production team be more effective in their creative process or processes, because there is many processes involved, all the way from the ideas to like publishing the videos and the way we're going to kind of like market the videos, like what's the focus, what's the keyword, right? So all of that is what I do.
Awesome. Yeah. So like before anyone even, you know, watches the listen, they have to be able to find it and they have to, you know, want to click on it. And that's basically where you come in. That's really awesome. Very important.
Right. So the most obvious thing I do is, I guess, editing the thumbnails and coming up with the ideas for titles, the headlines that we use in our lessons on YouTube, like the podcast and even on Instagram as well sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome. And I'm so happy that you're here today, because today we'll be talking about habits. And before we get into the topic, tell me, are you a creature of habit?
Well, yes, I'm definitely a creature of habit, but I'd say that everyone is. It's kind of like this very natural thing of us human beings that we are all creatures of habit. That's an advantage, actually, to have, because we're able to do things automatically. So even like becoming like a language learner and learning a second language, a third language, we need that to become automatic. So it's important that we are creatures of habit, but as long as we're aware of the habits that we're picking up.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what it means to be a creature of habit, it means that you usually do the same thing at the same time each day rather than trying new things or doing something different. So, all right, let's jump into today's topic. So see if this sounds familiar to you. You become obsessed, focused on some desire or goal that you'd like to achieve. You know, it could be passing your English exam, losing weight, getting a better job. So what do? You buy a course, you pay for a tutor, you join a gym. Then for a week or so, you are excited and motivated to meet that goal. You tell your friends, you post about it on social media, you work on your new passion, and you're really determined to achieve that goal. Then, after a while, something comes up. Maybe you have work commitments, or you feel sick, or there's some change in your schedule, and you start to gradually skip practicing. You miss a day here, a day there, and before you know it, you have given up on your course, you're ignoring messages from your tutor, and just the thought of going back to the gym makes you sick. And the cycle begins all over again. You're feeling demotivated. You're feeling like you need to build new habits. You're feeling like you need to do something new. So this is how most of us live our lives, including me. And it's really important for us to understand why people find it hard to remain consistent with their habits. So Izzy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, there's several reasons I'd say that people find it hard to remain consistent with their habits. Definitely, first one that comes to mind would be that there's too many distractions, there's too much going on these days that end up distracting us from the things that we really want to do. So that's immediately something that I would say that comes to mind.
Yeah. Can you give me an example, you know, something that you've personally experienced, maybe something that you found super distracting that prevented you from, you know, remaining consistent with your habits?
Definitely. I mean, there's the distraction machine that we all have that is our smartphones. So that alone can really disrupt your day. If you have it like by your side all day, it'll be constantly distracting you. And then there's so many ways that it now can get your attention and make you lose focus that alone, like if you find a better way to deal with your smartphone, you already have a very good chance of staying on course.
Yeah, no, this is a great point. While you were saying that, I was actually thinking that like we think about phones as like it's like essential. We need it. You know, it's work. Our entire lives, you know, depends on this device. My work, my, you know, social life, my, you know, my loved ones, I they're all there. They're in that little device. And if I don't have it with me, I don't have them, or I'm not connected to the world. And it's not true. It's not the case. It's really just, we have to find better ways of dealing with those distractions, as you call them. Yeah. So I think another reason people find it hard to stay consistent when it comes to habits is that they don't even know why they started the habit in the first place. They don't know what their goal actually is, or maybe they've forgotten. So for example, as I mentioned with going to the gym, so, you know, people feel like, okay, I want to get fit, but they don't know why. They don't understand why they want to get fit. Is it because you want to, you know, run a marathon? Is it because you want to fit into a pair of skinny jeans? I don't know. What is it that you actually want? And even then, once you know why you want to run a marathon, I'm sure there's a deeper reason why you want to run the marathon. So it really helps to understand why you want to achieve the goal in the first place. And I think that will help you, that will motivate you to keep working at it, to not give up on those habits.
Yeah, for sure. There are so many tools that you could use for developing new habits. And one of those, like one of the areas of development that you could certainly focus on is purpose. It's like knowing your purpose, being aware of it. And there's exercises, there's like meditation, there's lots of things that you can do, but you certainly need to be connected with a strong why if you want to keep up with new habits. And also, I'd say that not only people are not aware of their whys a lot of times, but they're not aware of the ways, you know, the hows of developing habits. I guess that's what we're here to talk about today. It's exactly what are these tools and what are the hows, the ways that we should implement to start developing habits with more consistency.
All right, so let's jump right into that. How can someone start developing good habits?
Well, I'd say that the first thing is understanding what is a habit and what's really the real impact of developing new habits. Because I feel that people, they think that they have an answer to, you know, all these questions like why habits matter and all of this, but they don't really know like the science and the reality of things. So, for example, one of the very important things that I've recently become more aware of, and I know that people are not really thinking about that so much because it's always such a novelty, it's always such a new thing to people when I talk about it, is mastering the decisive moments. This idea of becoming really good at making the right decision at the right time that will influence the rest of your day or maybe the couple hours ahead of you.
You mentioned decisive moment. What is that? What does it mean?
A decisive moment. So I guess the word decisive here would be related to this quality of something that will create results, that will have consequences. So if this is like a decisive moment or it's a decisive action, it requires a decision. It asks you for to make a decision, and that decision will have impact.
What is that about? Like, because you've just defined it, but how can we actually master those moments?
The idea of mastering a decisive moment comes from, again, this notion that actions are like a fork in the road. Those moments are going to decide how the rest of your day will be like. So, for example, you get home and you have two options, basically. If you want to work out after you get home, you have two options there. One option will lead you to working out, to actually going to the gym. And the other option will lead you to doing whatever you do that makes you not go and work out. So this idea that comes from this book, Atomic Habits, the author, he says that if he gets home and puts on the gym clothes, his gym clothes, he won't have to worry about the following actions because he will have already started. But then if he sits on the couch and just turns on the TV, right there, he already knows it. Like, that's the cue. That's what's going to get him started on a series of actions that will lead him to not going to the gym and just like not really leaving the house.
Okay, so the goal is that you want to get fit. And in order to get fit, you need to go to the gym. But in order to get to the gym, you need to make a decision. That's the hard part. The hard part is actually getting to the gym and doing it consistently. So what you're saying is you have to make those tough decisions, actually, between, you know, I'm going to relax, I'm going to do the easy thing, I'm going to sit on the couch and watch, you know, my favorite TV show, or I'm going to immediately get into the routine of, you know, putting on my gym clothes, getting the ball rolling so that I can actually get to the gym. I can actually put the plan into motion.
There's also this idea of micro habits that can really help you start. So, for example, still within the example of going to the gym, something that might stop you from putting on the clothes and just like putting your shoes, just getting ready to go to gym, is the idea that you'll go there, but then it'll be hard. It'll take an hour. It'll take so much time. How can you do that every day? I guess that's what makes it hard for most people. It's not just like that decisive moment, but it's like imagining that it'll be really stressful. It'll be a lot of work. So the micro habits come in, this idea of micro habits, to solve that, because what science says these days about habit building is that first, you must standardize the habit before you want to optimize it. So people normally go big with habits. They think, you know, I'm going to read for an hour, or I'm going to try this diet, and it's already a very extreme diet. And they don't practice the actions that are more related to the starting point, to getting started. So in the example of working out, you need to put on your shoes first. And if you master putting on your shoes, that's something that you will just get accustomed, you get used to that practice, and there will be less and less resistance to that. So the very first thing you do, like if you want to work out every day, it would be just putting on your shoes every day. And even if you don't work out, it seems crazy. It's like a crazy idea, but that's the idea of the micro habits. So it can go for something as minimal as putting on your shoes to maybe you put on your shoes and you do like 5 push-ups. And if you do that consistently, you'll be increasing your chances of really developing the habit.
This is so interesting. This is an interesting point, because while you were speaking, I was actually thinking, I think it's important for people to know that they need to figure out how to make that system that you were referring to, like the putting on the shoes. Like, maybe it is difficult for you to put on your shoes, so you put your shoes obviously in a spot that you see it, or you get someone, you know, your friend, get a friend, a gym buddy, get someone who calls you at, you know, you arrive home at 6 p.m. he calls you at like 5 minutes after 6, you know, he's there, you know, joining you in it, whatever works for you, whatever makes it easier for you. Because of course it doesn't actually get easier, but it might become more enjoyable if you put certain things into place. So I think these steps are important when you're building a habit. So for example, if I think about like learning Portuguese, in my case, I feel like I don't have time, which obviously is an excuse, but I actually really feel like I don't have time to do it. And I think that there are many language learners who do feel that they don't have the time, or they don't really like reading grammar textbooks, or they want things to be easier. They want to make the process more enjoyable. And I think there are ways that you can design this system so that it becomes fun, it becomes more enjoyable for you.
Yes, so there's four things that you want to do with habits that you want to develop. You want to make it obvious, you want to make it attractive, you want to make it easy, and you want to make it satisfying. So in this order, right? So first think, like, how can I make it obvious? And you talked about maybe leaving your shoes somewhere where you can easily spot it, where you can easily see it when you get home, right? And there's no resistance to doing that because you don't have to look for it. And this is totally applicable here. So make that cue obvious. Cue, the word cue, I guess, would be an interesting one to explain here. What is a cue?
Okay. So cue, not to be confused with the other version of cue, but in this context, cue means to provide like a signal or a prompt, a hint for an action. So, you know, the shoes trigger, it's like a signal that, okay, I need to do this. This is the action I need to take. Not to be confused with cue, which is a Q-U-E-U-E, which is a line of people waiting for something. People
or in British English, right? But yeah, or maybe South African English. That's also the word of choice for like a line in American English, like a queue. Which word would you use?
I guess it's both. I don't know if Americans use it. That's, I don't know. But a queue, Q-U-E-U-E, is a line of people. For example, at the supermarket, I wait in a queue in order to pay for my groceries.
There you go. Way more common, I'd say, right? Like in the United States, you'd call it a line.
A line. Yeah, I'm waiting in line. Yeah, probably that.
Anyway, so back to queue. Yeah.
The action.
Right. So we've got to make those cues obvious. Right? Because they really trigger. That's the very beginning of any habit, of any action. It's we see, we sense, we notice whatever is going to trigger it. And for anything, like even if you want to eat, any time you eat, it's because you're reacting to hunger. So that's the cue, right? So that's a habit that everyone has, a natural one. But then there's all sorts of habits that are not as natural. Like if you have a jar of cookies, right, on your table, that's going to be a cue for you to go there and just pick it up. Because after the cue, then comes the craving. And the craving, the word craving is this desire. But the desire is not for the habit. If you see the jar of cookies, you're not going to be desiring just to go there and pick one up. But actually, it is going to be more for the state that it will deliver, like how you feel after eating. So that's what the cue is going to be connected to that craving, to that desire. So then after the craving comes the response. So you'll actually do the thing. It's the habit itself. And then after the response, then you get the reward. You will feel the way you wanted to all along this whole time. And the reward will satisfy you, and it will also teach you. It will teach your mind that if you eat that, then it causes that sensation, right? So there is that sequence of cue, craving, response, and reward. And knowing of this allows you to, again, make it obvious. So the cue is obvious. You make it attractive, right? You make it in a way that you're going to crave for something that is there for you. And you're going to make it easy. So it's easy to execute. And you're going to make it satisfying, so that reward is satisfying. So if you work on all those four things, we can talk about examples here, but then it's like magic. And the contrary is also the case. If you want to make something, for example, that's a bad habit that you want to stop with, like your phone, for example, just like getting distracted by your phone, make it invisible, right? It's not about making it obvious, but it's about making it invisible. So maybe you want to start using your phone only after lunch, and you're going to leave it in your bathroom charging or something there. So it's invisible to you and there's going to be no cue.
Yeah, this is a good point. All right, so let's get into the difference between goals and systems. I mean, for me personally, I always thought that, you know, goals were the most important thing. And before we started recording, we had a conversation and you mentioned that, you know, being goal-oriented is not actually, you know, a very good thing. Can you explain why?
Yeah, so this idea of being a goal-oriented person is important. I would say that if you want to achieve anything in life, you need to have an idea of what your goals are. But the problem, though, is that most people, they spend too much time thinking about their goals and not enough time designing their systems that will get them to achieve their goals. So there's actually four problems in being a goal-oriented person that only thinks about the goal and not enough about the systems. Is that, number one, winners and losers, the people who actually achieve their goals and the ones who don't, they have the same goals. People who want to, you know, lose weight, there's all the people who actually don't end up doing that, even though both group people, they have the same goal. So by analyzing the winners and just like observing that they were goal-oriented, that's actually a misconception, because most likely what they're actually focused on was the day-to-day practices, you know, the daily activities, the systems that they've built to actually be able to show up every day.
Yeah. So in a practical sense, it's less about the goal and more about how you're going to get there. I think that's the point with winners and losers have the same goals. So the winner is the person who is being consistent with their routine or their whatever it is, whether it's, you know, practicing the piano or it's, as I mentioned, you know, going to the gym. It's that person who is committed to doing that thing day in and day out, whereas the loser is probably someone who's more focused on the long term instead of the short term. Yeah.
So let's say, for example, a goal would be clean your room, right? Something simple, something that I think most people go through this process of seeing your room getting more and more disorganized and maybe not as clean. And at some point you go there and clean it. So doing that, achieving that goal is something that is a momentary change. It'll take time for it to get to that point, but then you will just gather all the energy one time and then you'll do it and it'll change your life in that moment. But then what was going to end up happening is that later, a week from now or 2 weeks from now, it'll be at the same state of disorganization and uncleanliness, like that is not being clean. So people focus too much on the goal of cleaning the room rather than the systems, the daily systems that they have in place to not even allow that to be the case. It's like treating a symptom without addressing the cause. That's basically the idea here. So another problem is that being goal-oriented normally is something that restricts your happiness to those goals, like thinking like, once I reach my goal, then I'll be happy, you know? So what we should actually do is just like change what the goal is. Say you're an athlete and you want to win the championship or something, like you're a runner. So the goal shouldn't be to actually win the championship, because you're going to be unhappy the whole time until you win the championship. But the goal should be that daily practice. You should associate that with happiness. And once you do that, then you're already a winner. That's the practice of a winner. That's the common practice that you see with winners. So by doing that, you have that identity of the winner. So at that moment, you're happy and you're done for that day. And then the next day, there's another moment to be a winner again.
This is awesome. I love this example, because it also, like you said, I mean, if your goal is to win the championship, and you mentioned like you're not going to be happy until you win the championship, but you could also never win the championship. Maybe you break your leg and you never reach that goal, and now you feel defeated because you're never going to be able to do it. And I mean, this is life. I mean, things happen. Things throw us, of course. But I think the point is that if your goal was instead to, you know, be happy in the practicing, be happy in the find fulfillment in the fact that you're actually, you know, doing something that brings you happiness, that would be a lot more satisfying. I think in general, we would all be happier if we focused on those instead of this far-reaching, far-fetched goals.
Also, and the final problem with this is that it doesn't lead you to long-term success, because again, you'll be winning at that moment once you achieve your goal. But then right after that moment, you're a loser again, because you're not continuously winning. So the things that led you to win, you're not going to continue. It's the problem with the one-time champion, right? That's why we see a lot of teams, a lot of athletes that they win once because they were really led by that motivation of winning, of having that goal in mind, but then maybe they were not really focused on the practice. And there's so many athletes that I see out there that are, or even teams, that they're all about the system. People say they're a system-oriented team. So they win the championship, the next day they are at practice again, right? So that's the mark of a winner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think, like, obviously there's nothing wrong with winning. It's the system. I think that's what that's the whole point of all of this, is that, like, don't think that, oh, no, I shouldn't have any goals. I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to live life and see how things go. That's not what we're saying. I think you should have goals. I think you should just shift it from being these sort of far-fetched things that you can only achieve once you've done X, Y, and Z. I think each of those steps, the X, the Y, and the Z, should be part of your goal. Like, you should make it a goal to go to practice every day. That would be an excellent goal to have if your goal is eventually to become super fit or to win the championship. So, yeah.
And it's like the guiding star, right? It's like you should definitely have that goal. You should definitely have that why. But the why kind of justifies the daily actions. And this is really about, like, learning to enjoy, learning to love that daily practice, that the things, the systems, the things that you do daily. And as you said, like, even if you don't win or even if you don't get to do what you wanted to in the end, but you'll be happy because regardless, you are that person. You are that winner, right? Because you have all the ingredients. You just didn't get to actually be maybe recognized. But you know, like, internally, you know that you are that person.
That's really actually a beautiful analogy, because I'm thinking, like, you're finding that fulfillment within yourself. You're not, like, the championship is an external thing. Like, that's outside of you. But if you're, you know, happy, if you're finding that fulfillment within yourself, you're a winner, you know, because you know what you did to get to that point. You know the work you've put in, you know that the sacrifices you've made, etc. So yeah, it's a lot more rewarding in the end. I would love for you, Izzy, to talk about your own goals. I mean, you've basically mastered English. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Izzy is Brazilian and his native language is Portuguese. Can you share a little bit about the habits that you've managed to build in order to get to this point?
Yeah, so it all happened really naturally, I'd say. I wasn't thinking of any of this. I didn't know of, you know, any of this theory behind habit building. But I definitely started with very solid habits of living my English, you know, getting that input. So maybe it's a cliche, you know, like watching TV series, like Friends, sitcoms. But that was really what I would do. And I would do that daily. There was definitely consistency there. Not intentionally, like, from the perspective of learning English, although I was aware that I was learning, but I was just there to have fun, you know. And at some point, I noticed that it was having, like, a real impact in my English. So I just decided to try and learn more. The smaller aspects, like the more obscure, advanced details in what I was watching. So that cultural reference, you know, or maybe that phrasal verb that I knew what it meant, but how about the different applications of that? So I'll pause, you know, and, like, look up expressions and exactly, like, I would watch the subtitles in English, so I knew what they were saying, and I would just, like, really take my time, like, watching a single episode of Friends. It would take me, like, an hour because I was doing so much research with the desire of really understanding what was going on there. So I was coming out of each of these episodes, like, with this deep experience of immersion.
Mm. You mentioned two, like, really important things there. First of all, you said it was fun. You made it fun. Like, it wasn't like you were, you know, thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to go and study now. I'm going to go and let me get out my dictionary and my notebook. You said it was fun. And then secondly, you also then, you know, made it deliberate, because then you actually were, you know, taking your time and making it a valuable, you really got a lot out of that, you know, study time, so to speak. So that's amazing. Really, really awesome.
Yeah. And I guess I did that for, I don't even know, like, years, like 4 years. I don't know. Like, it was a long time. And at some point, I was focusing on different things I was already watching without subtitles. And I was just, like, really practicing, like, my listening. But again, for the sake of watching, I was not there primarily to improve my English, but it was happening at the same time. And that's what I really highly recommend people do, because that's what I believe. It's the only way they can really get to true fluency, is that when you're living the language the way that, you know, natives would, then you're replicating it to a point where it's exactly the same thing.
Amazing. Like, it really ties in exactly with what you were just explaining, because, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe you had cues and you didn't realize it. Maybe you had, you know, all of these things in place without even consciously, you know, putting them in place. They were already, you're already creating a system of habit building that worked for you. Clearly, it did.
This thing about cues and making it attractive, making it obvious, I'd say, like, this is probably at a time when I was a teenager. So, and I would get home. So I would go to the computer and watch Friends. It was probably the most likely thing that I would do. And because it'd be like lunchtime, so I was associating like lunch with watching that sort of Friends while having lunch. And this idea of like pausing whenever I would see like a new expression, like a new word, is also something that like, it became a cue, to a point where I would always stop, pause when I would see something that I'd like to learn more. So it became a habit too. So there's like all these like mini habits inside the larger habit of studying. But that's the thing, like it wasn't studying for me, but there were these small moments of studying within the larger activity of having fun.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It worked for you. It was fun. You didn't force it. You didn't, you know, have to force yourself to sit and study. It, people are waiting to feel inspired.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
So I was going to talk about habits and beliefs and how they're extremely linked. Like, habits lead to forming, to creating beliefs, and then beliefs lead to habits. So it's like this cycle. And you got to start somewhere. Normally, it's just easier to start with the habit itself, because what science says is that every action that you take is like this vote that you cast for the type of person that you want to become. And vote that you cast, I guess that's an expression too. So like, to cast a vote is to, well, to vote, right? To
exactly. Like, if there was an election, you would cast your vote by maybe using a ballot paper, or, you know, it could be electronic depending on your country, but you would cast your vote by voting, showing your support for someone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what actions lead you to. Like, in terms of beliefs, every action you take, you're telling yourself something. It's like a message that you're sending yourself, and it's that vote that you're casting to become that person. Like, if you go and run every day for 5 minutes, you're a runner already. You're the type of person who is a runner and who runs. You're the type of person who runs. You're not thinking about the goal at that point. You're just thinking about identity and who you are. And that's a lot more important when it comes to developing habits than, well, everything else that people normally tend to focus on. It's just identity will lead you to action, and then your actions will build identity.
I love this point. I think this is an excellent point, because it's inspiring. It's if you think about things that the goals that you haven't achieved, or the things that you want to do but you haven't really been able to get started. Maybe at the beginning of the year you wanted to start cooking and you cooking healthy meals, and you just never get around to it because it's so much easier to order takeout. And it helps to think about, you know, what is it that I want to do better for myself. I want to be a healthy person. What do healthy people do? They eat healthy food. They drink, you know, they stay hydrated. They drink water. They don't, you know, consume a lot of junk food. So I want to be associated with that.
It's exactly that. Like, it's not so much about, like, let's think again one more time about the winner. And what do winning people do? They win. No, that's not it. Like, it's not the right way to think, because you're only thinking about the end goal. And it's like the tip of the iceberg. But what's underneath is all these things that they do that is totally related with their identity. And that's what we need to observe. That's what took them to where they are today. Okay, so in another example, maybe you want to lose weight and there's this other person who lost, I don't know, like 30 pounds or like 20 kilograms or whatever. And you want to do the same, but then you only see them at the gym and you see like, they have all this motivation, but you don't get to see all the systems that they have in place to actually get to the gym and to be there every day, to shop every day, and the kind of mentality that they have, right? And maybe the other good habits that they have evolved related to time that they wake up and time that they go to bed, how much water to drink, so many other things. So maybe they're like even like journaling or something, and that's supporting them mentally. And you wouldn't even know if you didn't get, like, if you don't speak with them, if you don't really understand all of their systems of habits that they have.
This is deep. I love it. Okay, guys, so before we continue, we have an awesome shout out from one of our listeners.
Okay, so today's shout out is from Bashir Ahmed, and he says that our app is a true real life app where he gets to practice his English. And he's also saying that he was unable to understand native speakers before listening to our podcasts. And now he can easily understand every single word of the songs and movies that he watches. So he says that he's very thankful to the whole team and for the amazing app that is the Real Life app.
Oh, yeah, Bashir. Thank you so much for that awesome review. And if you want to shout us out, just head on over to the Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star review. We might be reading out your shout out next week.
Okay, so we've had this whole conversation here, and by now we should have a better idea of how to develop habits more effectively. So let me ask you, Kese, is there a new habit that you've been wanting to develop recently? And if so, what would be the ways that you'd implement right now, the house, based on the conversation that we've had?
So the one thing I would like to do is I would like to develop the habit of being more organized. I think that naturally as a person, and I think we all have traits about ourselves that, you know, we are maybe more naturally inclined to be a particular way. And with me, I tend to do things organically. I think of an idea, I scribble it down. I don't necessarily file it away. I don't, you know, follow through immediately. I do things sort of organically and in the moment. And so I think being more organized would really benefit me in different areas of my life. I think this would be a habit that I'd want to improve on right now. So one way that I think I could start, you know, with that system is to start with the little things in my daily life. So organizing my schedule, you know, sticking to doing things at a particular time, having a good routine could be one way. But the problem is that, maybe this is a side note, maybe you can help me. The struggle that I have is that I don't like routine. I don't like it. I get bored with routine. And so if I know that I have to do this thing every day at this time, I'm probably going to give up. And so this has been a challenge when it comes to organizing things, because I know I probably will not stick to it.
And there's definitely a few problems there. First, I think I would imagine that you wouldn't do that so consistently. Like if you were to do it every day and it's a simple task, it'd probably become a habit and then it'd become automatic for you. So you wouldn't be so stressful, the process of remembering, oh, I have to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, that's mainly the issue that people have, in the reason why they end up not doing it so consistently.
I think you pulled a bit of psychology on me there, because I think you made what you just said, like, sparked, a realization, which is that maybe I should ask myself, why do I have a problem with, for example, doing that activity? What is the actual issue? Because the issue isn't just doing it. It's why? What is the, maybe it's that I'm doing it at the wrong time of the day, because there is such a thing, you know, you have your sort of peaks within the day that you're more productive and you feel more focused. And maybe I'm doing it, I started doing things at the wrong time of the day, or I'm not getting enough sleep, or there could be other reasons why something is not working, you know, why the routine is not working for me. So yeah, I think that could be something to investigate.
Exactly. So investigate how it can be more satisfying for you, like what is stopping you from actually enjoying that activity, because that's a belief that a lot of people have, that maybe if you do something as a routine, it'll be dull, it'll be boring, or you won't have the motivation to do it every day, so you don't even get to make it a habit because you're afraid of it becoming a habit and it making your life worse in that sense, right? But that's a belief that I would argue, and also science would argue, that's not really founded on truth, because people who actually have solid habits and they do them more automatically, they have more freedom, and they're more creative, they have more peace of mind, they have more energy. So it's so many different aspects of your life that suddenly you get that boost of energy and life. That is just like one of those limiting beliefs, I'd say, that we all have. And I don't know exactly where we get that from. Maybe Disney movies that we watch, and everything seems so like spontaneous and not planned, right? And everything works out. But in the end, I think life's really different from what we see in Hollywood.
Exactly. Even on social media, I think there we go. Like another reason why you should stay away from your phone. You're looking, you're scrolling through Instagram, you're watching TikTok videos, and you're thinking to yourself, like, wow, these people are living life so spontaneously. They're just like, you know, think there's no routine here. Everyone's just doing things whenever. And that's a total lie. I don't think anyone really, I mean, if people are, I think it's a very small percentage of the population that actually has that kind of lifestyle where things just happen spontaneously for them. I do think even, yeah, as Izzy mentioned, I think it's just, we've been programmed to believe that, yeah, spontaneity is better.
And I don't even know if those people that actually have a more spontaneous type of life, if they are truly happy so consistently, because if consistency is the key here, then living a life where you really let the world kind of dictate how things will be, that would hardly lead to a life of consistency. So the whole idea of having a good day every day would kind of fall apart. Like you wouldn't have so much control over it. So that's one thing, right? So that's one thing that you should have in mind, exactly, like, how can I do things in a way that I can enjoy those things, like it's done at the right moment. I'm not wasting time. But the thing that I was going to say that could be even more important and that most people fail at is understanding that idea of the cue and how to set up your day in a way that it'll actually flow the way you want.
So basically, the person who is sort of wanting that sort of spontaneity, you're always searching, you're waiting for life to happen to you instead of, you know, actually taking charge and living the life that you created for yourself. Now you're actually vulnerable to being disappointed, to being to failure. You're vulnerable to all these things because you're allowing external factors to control your life, basically. And I think there was a podcast I was listening to a while ago, and it inspired me to start reading the book Essentialism. And when I know there's a quote that I have here in my notes, actually, it says that that is the path of the non-essentialist. The essentialist doesn't just recognize the power of choice, he celebrates it. The essentialist knows that when we surrender our right to choose, we give others not just the power, but also the explicit permission to choose for us. So I guess the point is, choose for yourself, you know, choose, create the habit, create the life that you want to live.
That's perfect. I'm a fan of essentialism. Greg McKeown, the author, he's like such an inspiring person. Like he's written I don't know how many books, but like there's the other one called Effortless. It's exactly talking about how to make things effortless, right? So just make it more satisfying and just like easy to execute on. And anyway, so that idea of just being in charge is really necessary here. It's the one thing definitely that you'd need. Because there's this other idea from psychologist Viktor Frankl, and he talks about that, and he refers to the importance for human beings to remember that between stimulus and response, there needs to be consciousness. We need to be aware. There needs to be awareness in between. If we're just reacting to the things that happen to us, we're just being like animals, like a instinctive animal, and that's what really makes us different as species, as you know, this thing that is the human being, is that we are able to respond the way we want to things. Now, still though, we have all this biological side of us and psychological that reacts to things, and we can set up our environment. We can make things easier for us as well to take advantage of all of this, because acting by instinct is part of us, and we can also embrace it, but in a way that's smart, that is designed. So talk about that. I mean, that would be the main thing here that I would tell people, is design your life and design your environment, design your reactions even, because those reactions can become habits. If you think of cues, you could think of the sentence, when situation X arises, I will perform response Y. So whenever this happens, I'll react this way. And that's a simple way of thinking. That can really give you clarity on how you want to behave every single time that thing happens. So also, it'll contribute to, I'm going to talk about organization. So every time I get up, I'll make my bed. That's one that you can easily make that into a habit, and it's relied on a time and location. It's a moment that will happen. You know it'll happen, and you're making it a lot easier for you to develop that habit because you have a clear cue. And with time, given like days, weeks, months, it'll be so automatic for you that you'll wake up like a hotel or something, a hotel room, and you'll make the bed because like you're so it's such a cue that's so strong to you. So that's the whole idea. Like if you master that, that's another decisive moment there. If you want to talk about decisive moments too, if you design your day in a way that you already predict the moments that you can find those cues and you can create these sort of statements. When this happens, I'll react this way. Then you will have a very solid start here to build new habits.
Awesome. I really think that's an awesome way to sort of close off this this episode. I do want to say to the listeners that we mentioned two different books here, and I think we'll definitely be linking that in the show notes. So that's Atomic Habits and Essentialism, in case you want to, you know, continue your reading on this subject. So thank you so much for being here today, Izzy. I think it was really amazing. You shared a lot of great insight with us. So yeah, thanks so much.
Great to be here. Love the conversation.
So we really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts suggesting a topic for a future episode. And stay tuned for next week's episode. And we're looking forward to seeing you then. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.